now we're going to hear from Duke. Duke always has an interesting story. He's like, thanks, Tom, for putting me on the spot and the pressure, right? But he always has these cool stories. I remember the one he was talking about with him and his son on the bike path with the snake, and he's like, he does it better than you. But anyway, he's going to come share right now with us, and he's going to talk about what does God call worship.
Thanks, Tom. I didn't think anybody remembered my stories of me. When I remind my kids or my wife, they just roll their eyes and go, oh, brother, nutty. I'm going to take us a little beyond where Dan did. We're going to read the next two verses in Isaiah, chapter 58. It'll be verses 6 and 7. And as soon as I get organized, we'll get rolling. Here we go. In 1914, Ernest Shackleton, the Arctic explorer, put an advertisement in the London Times newspaper. The advertisement was short, and it said this: men wanted for a hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, constant danger, safe return, doubtful. I was surprised to hear that there were over 5,000 men that applied for that position. Now, I would not have been one of them. I am not the type of guy who goes for adventure, but I long to be a better Christian in my life, and I know that you do as well, because you're here this morning. That's always a good sign. I want to read Isaiah 58, 6 and 7 to you. And then we'll discuss it for just a couple of minutes. Verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness? To undo the heavy burdens? To let the oppressed go free? And that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. I'm just going to carry on the theme that Dan started here. The Israelites were emphasizing traditions, fine clothing, ceremonies, and fasting in their worship. And they were thinking that this would please God. But in fact, God was saying, this is all show. You have dead hearts. Dry rot is setting in, and it's an abomination to me. It's like the young boy who was in his room, and he was praying to God because he needed a new bicycle. He wasn't really praying. He was yelling a prayer. Oh, God, I need a new bicycle bad. Please, God, I need a bike. And his mom walked in the room and said, Johnny, what are you doing? I'm praying, Mom. You don't have to shout. God is right. I know, Grandma's in the living room and she's got lots of money and I need a new bike. Kind of that same idea. Or, sadly, we'll leave humor for a second and go through this. It's like a man who constantly says to his wife, I love you, honey. I love you, dear. I love you so much. But he never shows any affection. Never dates her. Never buys her little gifts. Or shows her any admiration at all. It's just empty words. And that's what was going on with the Israelites at this time. And God was not pleased with their worship. In contrast to this, God says real faith, and this is hard, real faith comes in helping others. When I was a kid and I went to this church, I was about 6 or 7 when it started. There was a knock on the door around Christmas time. And kids always like to open the door. So my brother and sister and I, we probably raced to the door. And there were two deacons from the church with the humongous fruit basket I've ever seen. It was full of fruit and goodies because my mom was a widow. And the church was taking care of my mom. They were doing what the Bible says, and they sent a fruit basket to us. And I remember my eyes were about this big. I was going, hey, go away, deacons, and let us have that thing. I was so impressed. And kind of greedy about what we were getting. But you know what? These two men, they did it for several years. I imagine when they shut the door and were walking down the sidewalk through the snow, they probably heard us kids giggling and laughing and tearing into that fruit. But that has stayed with me, that simple deed, all these years. When I was a young man, I oftentimes would return back into the mind to that. Even now, as I'm getting older, I turn back to that. And that thought, that deed, strengthens my faith. God's saying that's real worship, what these men do. Pastor says it a lot. We don't understand the greatness of the mission that we are on of God. The things we think are mundane, small, of little value, like giving someone a fruit basket, they are huge in God's eyes. They have eternal implications. So small things matter in God's eyes. The ancient kings of old days, they were basically unapproachable. Many of them were. Some of them thought that they were gods. Well, if you were fortunate enough to get an audience with a king, many times you had to crawl in on your belly, beseeching the king, groveling on the floor of the throne room. Our God is not like that, is he? He is extremely approachable. He loves us infinitely. He's forgiving. I was surprised to hear that the Greek word for forgiving means to be the breaking of bonds, the breaking of chains. When God forgives us, we are really set free, aren't we? He's gracious, he's merciful, he's compassionate, he's intimate, and he's oh so approachable. He wants us to talk to him. Like Dan was saying, even when we're angry, God wants us to approach him. As believers, we need to be the same. A forgiven sinner wants to reach out to others. We want to share this great grace that God has given us. This is what God is telling us in the two verses that I read. Sharing that unquenchable joy through service is partnering with God. We're jumping on the boat with him. We're doing what he wants. We don't have to be a super Christian, do we? We just have to be available and ready. Reaching out in compassion when God tells us to. Okay, Tom, here's a story. One of the funnest jobs I ever had. Sometimes my wife drags me along when she goes catering. And I got to this catering site and they said, Duke, you're going to be a human arrow. I said, what? A human arrow. And I said, okay, what does a human arrow do? They said, this is a wedding. You're going to stand on the trail in the woods here. And as people come down the trail, you have to be cheerful and you have to point them in the direction of the clearing in the woods further down the trail. So as they came down, I said, hello, how are you? Ah, the wedding is just another 100 or 200 yards down that way in the clearing. You're doing good. Follow the path. And I got paid for this. Was that ever cool? Well, this is what God wants us to be, human arrows to the lost world. We need to be cheerful. We need to give good direction. In doing this, in partnering this way with God, we're helping to loosen bonds, carry others' burdens, we're helping the oppressed, we're breaking heavy yokes that bear people down. We're saying to them, you're not alone in this. We can help. We might be called to feed. We might be called to get clothing, even share our money. It won't always be convenient, will it? Don't ever watch a series on TV if you're a Christian. Because you know you're just going to get into it one night, the next night, the third night, somebody's going to call and say, hey, could you come and help me? You go, oh, no. It's the fifth episode of World War II or something. Forget World War II, it's over. Somebody needs you. God is saying you can't just ride the church really. You can't show up. Otherwise, the gifts that God has given us will rust out. And they won't be used. And God gives us gifts and abilities to be used. Am I right? I am. God says that. So we need to go beyond our comfort zone. In my mind, I flash back to a lady not at this church, but she was called the church dinner lady. She was older and kind of confined to her home. She loved to cook, and she had lots of money, but she couldn't get out and do things at church. So she cooked meals for people, and about once a month, people would come to her home, and they would dine with her, and she would share her faith with them. This was something that she could do. Some of you know a few women that are associated with this church that send out cards of encouragement and letters. You get them all the time. This is something they can do. These are really neat acts of service that they do. I know some other people in this church that do the prayer letter every Sunday, and they pray for each need on that prayer letter. You know, if we think about it, we can find, you can't get away from it and say, no, God can't use me, because God can use you. He's given you a gift. He's given you an ability. You might have to look for it a little bit. I bet if you go to pastor and ask, he'd give you something to do. Some ideas. But we need to be in use for God. Otherwise, we're like these people, useless to God. What we have is a living faith. And God says it's better than ceremony, fine clothing, and fasting. Now, to sum everything up, about 20 years ago, I was driving a van through the desert and headed to Albuquerque, New Mexico. I had five young men in their early 20s with me. They were part of my Sunday school class, and the van I was driving said, Emmanuel Baptist Church, in big letters, God with us. Well, you had to obey every rule of the road without it. Anyways, we were scooting through the desert, and there was a car at the side of the road, and I just kind of figured it was broken down and empty and went right on by. And one of the five guys in the back said, Hey, I think I saw a young girl trying to change a flat tire on the other side of the car. I was really proud of these guys. Another guy says, Really? Well, should we stop? And another guy said, Well, we're Christians, aren't we? And so I pulled the car over, put it in reverse, backed up. Now the funny thing happened. These were five single guys. This was a cute girl. They bailed out of the van and went running to that girl. Hey, I can help. I know how to change tires. Let me help you. And she did a little backpedaling at first. She was surprised to see this overflow of energy. But she realized shortly that we were there to help her. And we got the tire back on the van, and she shook hands with us, thanked us profusely, and drove away. Now the question was, did we help the young lady spiritually? I'm sure she saw the lettering on the van. I'm sure she knew we were believers. We don't know. But the answer is, we did exactly what God wants us to do. In doing this, we were where God wants us, where faith jumps off the pages of the Bible and takes up residence right here in our hearts. And with that, I'm done. Thank you for your time.